Next, we talk about reincarnation. Well, for glass, paper, cardboard, and some plastics anyway. So most of us feel good when we recycle, or maybe bad when we don't bother to. It's the least you can do for the planet, right? But recycling isn't always so straightforward. Like, why do so many plastics go straight into the landfill? Or can pizza boxes really be born again with all that greasy cheese stuck to them? Where does the glass even go? These are the kinds of questions that are within the domain of Jackson County's master recyclers. Just as master gardeners know the tips and tricks of working the soil, master recyclers know the practices of keeping our refuse out of the landfill. Another round of master recycler training comes to Jackson County next week, starts March 8th, and the program coordinator Denise Barnes visits us in the studio now with details. Denise, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, there you are. Yeah, Denise, so you are with Rogue Disposal and Recycling, Inc. Can you tell us more about the service area that that encompasses?
Yeah, Rogue Disposal is one of the three. There's three franchise waste haulers in Jackson County, and our service area is Medford, Central Point, Phoenix, Jacksonville, and some areas in Jackson County.
So when you throw something away in, say, Medford or Jacksonville, where is away?
Well, we're very lucky that away is pretty close. Uh-huh. We have the regional landfill facility right here in Jackson County. So when we throw something away, it doesn't have to travel too far. However, our landfill is a regional facility, so we get waste from about seven different counties. As far away as Humboldt County down in the California coast, uh-huh. As far north as Coos County on the Oregon coast.
Right. So this regional landfill, obviously, then it's pretty precious real estate is what it sounds like.
Precious real estate. Absolutely. It's a resource that we take very good care of. We're good stewards.
So where does the recycling come into business at Rogue Disposal and recycling?
Well, recycling is also a way to preserve that precious resource of our landfill, to extend the life of that landfill by keeping usable things out of it. Also, recycling is mandated by law. So Oregon's law says that we will collect and provide the opportunity to recycle to the residents of Jackson County. And once that is collected for recycling, it's against the law to landfill it.
Oh, interesting. So could you walk us through sort of what happens to a, it sounds a bit poetic, but what happens to like a single green glass bottle once I put it in, assuming I put it in the right bin?
Right,
a lot of times
right.
That's not what happens. But
a lot of times what happens to the glass is if it's in our, like in Rogue Disposal service area, we allow glass in our commingle, our mixed recycling uh-huh. cart. Not all haulers do that. So you have to know what your hauler allows. What your collector accepts. We do allow glass to be in your mixed recyclables. And then that glass ends up getting sorted out of the mix. And it can go to a couple different processors. There's a processor called E-Cullet, and there's one called Strategic Materials. And they actually take that crushed glass and are able to sort it with optical sorting to get sorted out by color.
Optical sorting.
So they clean it. They sort it out by color with optical, like basically lasers,
and
gets turned into new glass products. Things like as simple as a reflective striping on the road, to something fancy like, you know, ornate glass tiles.
Uh-huh. So what about, is this a terribly different story for paper products and plastic products? I guess part three.
Paper products are still collected. Newspaper, corrugated cardboard, and what we call mixed waste paper is still collected. And then that fiber is sorted out and then goes to the actual paper mill to be turned into new products. Plastics are very limited of what we can take in our curbside programs. All the programs only take plastic bottles, which the neck is smaller than the base, and plastic tubs, all clean and no lids. And the question always comes up, well, why not the lids? It's the same plastic as the
right.
container. Well, the lids are small or flat. They end up trapped in the paper fiber and at a paper mill rather than a plastic mill where they should be. So the lids don't work. They don't get sorted out properly.
Or the clam, they're called clamshells?
Clamshells don't work in the commingle system either because they're brittle. By the time they get collected and baled and shipped to market and then processed, they're in a million pieces and can't get sorted back out.
And just to clarify, clamshells often have salad greens in them or vegetables or the super
goods.
Thin
yep.
things that a lot of food at the grocery store
yes.
comes in.
Yes.
And so the rise of those, I was very surprised to learn they're not recyclable because every single week people on my block yes. try to recycle them.
Yes.
What are some, are those, I imagine they are among the most common things that think people think are recyclable
yes.
that actually aren't?
We love, you know, people want to recycle and they really want to recycle plastics. We call those wishful recyclers. So, you know, you want to recycle that clamshell so bad. And so people think, oh, I'm just going to put it in my commingle cart.
Make it happen.
I hope it gets recycled. Well, the fact of the matter is it's actually contaminating the good stuff. So you're actually not helping recycling.
You're monkey wrenching a bit.
You're putting a stress on the system that doesn't need to be there. So it's actually better to put it in the landfill where we'll take good care of it and not contaminate the good recyclables.
We're talking with Denise Barnes. She's program coordinator for an upcoming master recycling class put on by Rogue Disposal and Recycling Inc. in Medford. I'm Emily Curitan, and you are welcome to join this conversation. Please bring your recycling questions our way at 800-838-3760 or email us jx@jeffnet.org. Got a question here it's not really a question, a comment from Boyd in Wolf Creek. The recycling mantra needs to begin with refuse. Avoid buying stuff we don't really need.
Exactly. Recycling is actually the last thing, action you should take. You should reduce your consumption, just reduce the amount of waste you're bringing into your life. Reuse what you can. We always like to throw in another R, like repair. People, you know, we're a throwaway society rather than repairing things like we used to back in the old days. And then recycle. Recycle should be your last action because it still takes a lot of resources to recycle those products. By the time it's collected at the curb, baled, transport hundreds of miles to a sorting facility, sort it out, and then finally end up at a mill to be turned into a new product, we've already invested a lot of resources and energy into that. Whereas if we just reduced our consumption in the first place and made less waste to deal with, then that is the most important thing. That was a very good comment.
Uh-huh. Well, that's from Boyd and Wolf Creek. And, you know, one of the many steps there to reduce your footprint, we focused so far on what Rogue Disposal and Recycling does with things once they're properly sorted and shipped to respective, I guess, contractors who do the actual recycling. What about things that you can recycle on your own that maybe people don't realize don't even need to get sent to the landfill?
There's a lot of recycling beyond the curb. And in Jackson County, we have quite a few opportunities here. Even agencies like Goodwill, they can take one shoe. If you turn in your pair of shoes and one gets lost or separated, they can actually recycle that one shoe.
Really?
So they have markets where they can recycle things like textiles and things that we can't recycle at the curb. So there's a lot of opportunity in Jackson County. There's a recycling directory called JacksonCountyRecyclingDirectory.org. If you go to that link, it lists all sorts of options for things that aren't taken at the curb, like batteries. What do I do with those old books? What do I do with those old textiles?
Light bulbs? That's one that
Light bulbs can be
me.
Recycled. Sometimes there's a charge for them, but they can be. Even as something as benign as an incandescent light bulb, all the way up to something that's more toxic, like a fluorescent light bulb.
So incandescents are on the benign side of things,
right?
These
they
days.
Don't have the mercury in them.
I see. Well, let's take a call here. We've got Paul in Grants Pass with a question. Hi, Paul. You are on the air. Welcome.
Great topic. Our recycling and reuse program has gotten us down to generating two dust bins a week, mostly of cat litter. We have four cats, so we haven't been able to figure something out about that. The problem we run into are plastic bags and plastic sheeting. In Josephine County, is there any way to recycle that? Right now, about all we do is use it to wrap the cat poop.
All righty. Thanks for that, Paul. So we got some cat poop and some plastic bags on our hands. What
plastic
do we do?
Bags are a big issue because they're not accepted in the curbside programs, because they tangle up the sort equipment that's sorting out all those materials.
Uh-huh.
Anything tangleable, malleable like that just tangles up and locks up the equipment. So that's why the curbside programs don't want those plastic bags or film plastic. A lot of the stores that use those plastic bags for shopping bags often have receptacles right at the store. Right when you walk in the door, look around and see if they have one. A lot of them will take them back right at the store, and they use their trucking backhauls to get them to market, to get them recycled. They are recyclable.
They are.
They just don't work in a commingled system because they tangle up the sort equipment. So that's what I would suggest with the plastic bags, is look for a grocery store that has one of those take-back bins, and what you don't use up for the cat litter, take them back to the grocery store. Just plastic sheeting, however, is a little more challenging. A lot of the depots, the people that were collecting them for recycling, have shut down because there's nowhere to take that material. China's not consuming as much plastics as they used to. Their economy is slowing down. Fuel prices are being so low that their plastic, recycled plastic, is more expensive than virgin material right now.
Oh, no.
So we're having a difficult time recycling plastics.
Yeah, you have canceled the plastic roundup this
year.
We
have had to cancel our spring plastic roundup. We've been holding this event since 2008, and we went to a biannual event in 2012 where we were having so much success. We went to twice a year, and now we have to cancel it because we have nowhere to take that material. Nobody wants to touch it because it has no value right now.
I see. So recycling is not all driven by warm, fuzzy feelings, then.
No.
It's an economic
it
reality.
It is driven by it, but that's not what pays the bills. So most recyclers are a business. They have to make money to stay in business. So recycling is economic driven as well as warm, fuzzy.
Let's take another call. We've got Grumpy John in Grants Pass, the one and only on the line. Grumpy John, welcome to the exchange.
Hey, thanks very much. Two questions. What do we do with tarps? And secondly, less a question, but why are we not allowed to go in? I was throwing a truckload of plastic bottles into the bin over at the recycling center the other day, talking to the guy there, and he was talking about the people that brought in brand new, air quotes, televisions that were only 36 or 42 inches and throwing those away. He said, I know these things are in perfect working order, but I can't allow you to take them. Same thing with building materials. There are pallets, there are 2x6s. It's just infuriating that you deliberately disallow people to actually recycle stuff. That's my grump for today.
All right, John. Thank you for that. Oh, sorry there, John.
Okay, well, first the tarp question. You know, when we had the plastic roundup, that was your outlet for the tarps. We would just ask that customers would cut off any metal grommets on them, and we were able to recycle them at the roundup. That's why that event was so special and so unique. We could take things that you just can't recycle anywhere else, and so it is a sad thing that we had to cancel it. And my hope is that we will – markets tend to be cyclical, and it is my hope that they come back and we'll be able to revive the plastic roundup so we can deal with things like those tarps. In reference to the e-waste in particular, you know, we
electronic
have
waste. The
electronic waste, like the TVs and computers and things like that show up, whether they are working or not, we have a contract with the recycler to pick up that material. That's how they stay in business. We can't just allow the public, particularly on computers, to take something that may have confidential information on it.
Uh-huh.
We have to protect that equipment, and then it goes directly to a recycler that we have a contract with. That's how they stay in business, by getting that material. We can't just let the public take that. Then they would have nothing to stay in business with. The company that we choose to do business with is called ECS Refining. And the reason we do business with them is they have two refineries, one in California, one in Texas. They don't send anything overseas to China to get, you know, disassembled and taken. They handle everything in the United States, meeting all the health and safety standards and beyond. So we can't just allow the public to take that material, even though it's so tempting. I'm sure they would love to.
Yeah, I mean, you single out the e-waste, but I think Grumpy John also mentioned, you know, building materials. And I have seen transfer stations/landfills where there is a section for the good stuff, you know, the furniture people throw out that's still usable.
Some transfer stations do it. Mainly the reason we don't allow salvaging at a transfer station facility in that environment is purely liability.
Safety.
It's a busy place. There are cars coming and going, trucks coming and going, and huge pieces of equipment pushing that garbage. Allowing someone to just stand around and salvage is a dangerous situation. So our own workers salvage what we can for recycling, wood, metal, things that show up that shouldn't belong. Like if e-waste shows up in the garbage, we pull that out.
Uh-huh.
Our own employees do for recycling. But we can't just allow the public to do that for liability reasons.
Right. It sounds like a dirty job.
Yeah.
In
sometimes if Goodwill has trained staff, we do have contract with Goodwill that they can come in and salvage, but we can't just allow the public to do that.
We're talking with Denise Barnes. She's from Rogue Disposal and Recycling, a program coordinator for the upcoming Master Recycling class there. A lot of these topics that we have been covering today will be covered much more in depth over that course, something like 8 weeks, is it,
Yeah,
Denise?
We start on March 8th, and it goes all the way to March 17th. We skip 1 week right around Earth Day because we're very busy around Earth Day.
Yeah.
But it spans those 10 weeks, and we cover everything from this background, this behind the scenes, what happens to our recyclables and why. Why do we take things and why don't we? They go on a very coveted trip to a field trip to the landfill.
Ooh.
Most people do not get to see our regional landfill. It's not open to the public. So they get to see that. And we cover everything all the way down to, you know, backyard composting, urban sustainability, toxic avoidance.
Hazardous waste, wood, food waste. That's another part. We have very little time remaining, unfortunately, but all of life, it seems like, is encompassed in our waste bins.
Yeah, we try to just touch on a lot of different topics. And then if somebody finds something of interest, then we can delve a little deeper. But we try to cover a lot of variety in this training.
And this is at Rogue Disposal, which is at 1 West Main in downtown Medford. More info is on our website, jeffexchange.org. You guys have also got your own website, jcmasterrecyclers.org.
Yes, they can apply right online for the class right there.
So, and Denise, what separates a master recycler from your average Joe
because
or Josephina?
Because they commit to coming to this class every Tuesday night from 5:30 to 8 o'clock. And then they give back 30 service hours to our community in areas of waste prevention, recycling, reuse. And they're the waste prevention ambassadors. They really should be called, you know, instead of master recyclers, they should be master waste preventers because we focus a lot on that. Because recycling is like the guy said from Wolf Creek, you know, that's the last thing you do. We really focus on waste prevention and reuse. So they're the ambassadors. They're the experts.
Waste prevention ambassadors. You've been doing it 8 years now. Yes. I imagine you see these people making a difference in the community.
I see them making a difference in the community. And they're very well respected in the community. Great group of people. And it's a lot of fun, too.
All right. Sounds like it. We've been talking with Denise Barnes from Rogue Disposal and Recycling in Medford. She's program coordinator for their upcoming Master Recycling class in its 8th year. They are still taking applicants. You can find out more at jeffexchange.org or at jcmasterrecyclers.org. Denise, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It was great.